The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. You have your instructions. Any questions? All right, we move on. You don't get off that easily. Repent and believe in the gospel. This morning we hear on the first Sunday of Lent the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And Jesus is made known to the world at that moment as God looks upon him and says, "This is my Son. You are my beloved. I'm very well pleased in you." And this gospel of truth, the gospel of love, the gospel of repentance is all made available to God's people. God is a God of promises. God is a God of fulfillment. That's what we heard in Genesis. God made a promise. He's a God of covenant. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of mercy. That's what we heard in 1 Peter, that Jesus suffered for our sins. And then in this gospel that Mark relays to us, Jesus is the God of fulfillment. And we are able, through our baptism, to call upon him in our own lives for forgiveness, for amendment of life, for repentance of sin, to believe in the gospel. Notice how those two things are said together. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The problem is too many people don't believe. And yet, we know what a wonderful, beautiful life we have when we live it in Jesus Christ. It's great to have all of you here this morning. It's fun to preach to the choir because I can say things like that and, you know, yay, and you shake your heads and isn't that wonderful, you know. You know that. There are too many people out there that don't. Too many people wake up this morning with very heavy hearts, with very uncertain lives. And especially after the events of this last week, we know that to be true. Some of you have heard parts of this message before because you were here in the evening on Ash Wednesday. But if you were a part of the liturgy in the morning, or if you were here at noon, then you didn't hear this particular part of the message, because after we left here in the afternoon on Ash Wednesday, there were a good handful of people here for our Ash Wednesday noon service. Then we were all confronted with the news of that horrible event at the school in Florida, of that young man that went in and took 17 lives, last I heard, that in so doing forever changed the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And what you heard me talk about on Ash Wednesday was a passage from Hebrews chapter 12 that was the reading for morning prayer that morning. It's appointed for Ash Wednesday in the morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Those are the first two verses only in Hebrews chapter 12. And it applies so importantly and pertinently to us today. especially as we reflect on those events. How could someone go and do what they did? And there's all kinds of talk, immediately the talk about gun control, and they're talking about mental illness, and talking about how the signs were there and that someone should have reached out to help this young man. And all of those things, you know, they're very important things to talk about, and they're all true. But they're missing what we as Christians know would have prevented all of this. And that is, in Hebrews chapter 1, we are told to lay aside every weight and sin. Two different things, weight and sin. We know our sins. We know when we're against the Ten Commandments. We know when we're doing things, saying things, thinking things, whatever it is that we shouldn't be doing. But too many of us carry weights and burdens. And we are to lay those at the feet of Jesus. And when we lay our weight at the feet of Jesus, when we give it to God, when we ask God into our lives to take that on and to somehow walk with us on that journey, then I don't believe a person acts out in such violent hatred. Because it's the weight of the baggage that one carries, the life that one's leading. Whatever the situation is, things are going to come out over time, and who knows what that young man went through. But things are going to come out over time that affected his life, and I'm willing to bet that he never, ever took those to the foot of the cross. Because we don't act out in violence and hatred if we can put our burdens and our weight at the foot of the cross. That which oppresses us. You see, that's what repent and believe in the gospel is all about. It's about taking all of those things, and as the letter to the Hebrews says, it's about taking all of those things and laying aside the sin in our lives, but also the burdens in our lives. Laying them aside, running with perseverance the race, and looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Take all of that gunk and get rid of it. And give it to your Lord. Give it to your Savior. Because there's no other way to get through this life. We don't know how to do it any other way, right? That's why we're here. And we look out into the world and we see people trying to do it without God. And we wonder, how is that even possible? I can't imagine it personally. I cannot imagine it. Now, some of you have come to lives of where your stories have events of tremendous conversion, like St. Paul on the road. Where all of a sudden, you know, you knew that you were saved. That Jesus loved you. That all of that stuff didn't mean anything anymore. Because you found Jesus, or better yet, He found you. Some of us have a different kind of conversion story, where I grew up in the church and I just kind of gradually, ever so slowly, was nudged in a certain way where I came to the realization one day and I went, wow. And had this experience of the presence of God with me. That you'd have thought, looking at my life, that I'd had a long time before that. Not everybody has, you know, talking donkeys. Not everybody has, that's scriptural, right? Not everybody has that. Not everybody has, you know, visions in the sky or big claps of thunder where God speaks to us and we know that Jesus is alive. But we have conversion experiences that start, you know, perhaps very early on, maybe from infancy on. I think we're already converted when we're born. We know God then. And for whatever reason in our frail humanity, perhaps because of the fall of man, we grow out of it and have to understand that again. There's a fantastic story on that line where a mom and dad bring home a newborn infant and the baby's in the crib and they're listening on the baby monitor, and their probably 5 or 6 year old child goes in and is with the infant baby in the room, and mom and dad are listening. And the young child says to the infant baby, "Tell me again about the angels. I'm beginning to forget." I don't believe that if we can truly lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. This writer knew what he was doing about. Many people, you know, conventional wisdom will tell you they don't know who wrote Hebrews. There's lots of scholarship that believes Paul actually did write Hebrews, and we can go into that later. So if I mention Paul writing this, there's reason for that. But if we can lay aside the burdens and the weights and the hurt and the pain and the unforgiveness and set them aside and simply look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, then we're not going to see horrific acts of hate and violence in this world like what we've seen. I believe that to be true. I believe that's what God spoke to me on Ash Wednesday. Just boom, there it was. The weight and the sin. Two different things. Two different ways. Two different ways for us to approach God this Lent. Two different ways for us to amend our lives and look toward the empty tomb of Easter, renewed and refreshed and revitalized. Now, some of you, again, have heard this message before. I think everybody heard it at least once before. I don't know. I think all of you were at an Ash Wednesday. But it changed from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12:15 here, and then until we were here at 6 o'clock at night. The whole thing changed for me because I looked at what was unfolding on the television set, and I said, "God, I know you are speaking to me, and I know you're speaking to this congregation." And we are in a world that is so desperate and so hurting to lay aside the weight and the burdens. And when people feel helpless and lost and they don't know how to do it, that's when we see events like that unfold. Satan is alive and well in this world, and he looks at someone in such despair and such hurt, and that is the thing that he would attempt to cling to. But we know that putting aside every burden, putting aside every sin, repenting and believing in the gospel, that we can lay aside. We have to believe that Jesus meant what he said in order for us to be able to even do that, to lay aside a weight, a burden, or to confess a sin. We have to believe that God is the God who said, "I'm going to forgive you for that. I'm going to walk with you, and you're not on your own. I'm with you. I love you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." We have to believe that. Or else it doesn't mean anything to confess our sins. It doesn't mean anything to say, "I'm going to leave that at the foot of the cross," if you don't believe in the cross. The Christian church has a message for this hurting world. And I believe that as we go through this season of Lent, as we participate in a 40-day fast for life, as we give our lives and our ministry over to Jesus, that we can be that light of the gospel, and that people can see that Jesus really does make a difference, and that they don't have to live oppressed and burdened and hurting and desperate and hopeless. Let that be our prayer this season of Lent. Let us lay aside every weight and every burden and turn to Jesus, the perfecter and finisher of our faith. And as we repent and believe in the Holy Gospel, we cling to the promises of God, who never strays, never falters, who is a God of covenant and promise. A God who says what he means what he says, and fulfills the promise that he says he's going to fulfill. Father God, you looked down on your Son Jesus and said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We see in your holy word that immediately after you pronounced blessing upon Jesus, that he was tempted and led into the wilderness by Satan. Father God, we know that temptation will come. We know there will be burdens. We know there will be hurt. We know there will be despair. We know there will be times when our faith wavers, when we see people helpless and hopeless. Father, let us cling and persevere to our Lord Jesus, that there would be no other way for us to live our lives, and that we would go forth from this place living in our lives what we profess here with our mouths. Father, for all of those who lost their lives in Florida, we pray for the salvation of their souls, Lord. We pray that they knew you. Father, we ask your blessing and your comfort and the peace which only your presence can bring to be with those families and all who grieve. Father, we pray for that young man who in such despair, anger, desperation and hopelessness would act out and commit such a horrific thing. Lord, we pray that all people would come to know the sanctity and the precious gift of human life. Lord, let your love surround that place and all of those who are dealing with this. All of this we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.